Scientists are learning more about how the brain controls behavior, especially behavior like violence. New technologies allow researchers to study the brain during times of rest and at times of intense emotions and thought. NPR's Patricia Naiman has more on some of that research.
It was in the mid-80s when scientists began to refine techniques of brain imaging, taking X-ray-like pictures called PET scans to measure the functioning of different parts of the brain. Adrian Raine is a neuroscientist at the University of Southern California. He studies the biology of violence.
With the advent of brain imaging techniques, we can now literally get inside the mind of a violent offender and assess the structural and functional characteristics of their brain. And that's something that we were never able to do 15, 20 years ago.
Raine recently looked into the brains of 41 murderers who came to the university's Brain Imaging Center. The scans of their brains were then compared to 42 other people of similar age and sex.
What we found was that the murderers as a group had poorer functioning in a region of the brain called the prefrontal cortex. This is a part of the brain that sits above your eyes. It lies behind your forehead. It's the most recently developed part of the human brain. It's involved in controlling and regulating behavior. It dampens down and checks on our impulsive behavior.
Raine says the brains of the murderers lacked the biological ability to control their behavior. Raine then compared the brains of those who murdered impulsively, what one might call crimes of passion, to the brains of those who murdered after careful planning, what one might call a cold-blooded murder. While both groups had less control over their behavior than normal individuals, the impulsive murderers had even less control. And the murderers who carefully planned their crime exhibited differences in other deeper regions of the brain. Raine says animal research shows these primitive regions respond more out of reflex than reason and could give rise to aggressive behavior.
The predatory killers nevertheless have sufficient prefrontal resources to be able to regulate and control their aggressive behavior and feelings, perhaps allowing them to channel their activities into activities which give them personal reward. And it could be, in some cases, that attacking other people and killing other people and manipulating them certainly could lead to rewards for these individuals.
Raine says there's growing evidence that the structure and chemistry of the brain could influence violent behavior.
In other words, it may not matter at all what environment you're brought up in. If you have the genetic predisposition that leads to faulty brain functioning in terms of neurotransmitter functioning or other functioning, then that could be the reason why ultimately you end up in a criminal career.
The notion that genetics plays a role in predicting whether a person will become violent is highly controversial. Evidence thus far is inconclusive, but many projects examining interactions between genetics, the brain, and the environment are underway. In one study, scientist Stephen Kortz at the California Institute of Technology is looking into how parts of the brain interact and how these regions are activated at different times.
It's kind of a bizarre fact of the brain that people can withhold empathy in certain kinds of situations and yet be normally empathetic in another kind of situation.
For an extraordinary historical example, Kortz says, look at the Nazi prison guards during World War II.
People who would come home and live a normal, you know, after putting people to death all day, would come home and have a normal family life. And how is it that the brain can so fragment our experiences that we can commit, on the one hand, terrible acts of atrocities, and yet somehow turn that off and come home, you know, and bounce babies on our knees and live a normal family life? That there must be an extreme ability for the human brain to partition experiences in different kinds of ways.
In order to figure out how and when people partition off parts of their brain, Kortz is doing a study scanning people's brains when they're in the midst of making complicated moral decisions and when they're feeling emotions like empathy. Neuroscientist Adrian Raine says it's important to know whether brain dysfunction like that evidenced by the murderers in his study was in place early on in their lives.
So, for example, if we could have gone back in time and scanned the brains of these people when they were much younger, would they have then shown the type of frontal abnormalities that we actually find when they're adults.
Rain says it could be that complications during birth cause brain dysfunction. He points to one study of over 4,000 Danish infants. Those who suffered complications at birth ended up 34 years later to engage in more criminal activities than those who had normal births. Patricia Naiman, NPR News, Los Angeles.